You're new with us. My name is Miles. I'm on staff at Elevation. I'm employed full time. And my role is to coach the location pastors. Pray for me. I thought it'd be kind of easy, you know, pastoring pastors. They're hard work. You think kids are needy. Man, you'd start talking. They want staff. They want money. They want trips. But I love it. And I think the health of the church always comes from the leaders. And that starts with the pastors. And so it's my job to keep our location pastors healthy. Make sure they go on vacations. That's important. Make sure they send flowers to Gabby. I made him send flowers. I did. And she got the flowers. These didn't, because she gets them herself anyway. They're always fresh cut flowers every week in her beautiful home that she keeps so well. But I made him get some, and she said, "Did Miles make you get those?" So I'm working to make sure that she doesn't find out that it's from me, not from bro, but we're working on that. But Bronson and Gabby, I love them to death. Beautiful couple, great parents, great marriage, great leaders in our church, great legacy from mum and dad that have set them up to succeed, and the best is yet to come for Melbourne West. Are we in agreement there? I know you checked out, you snuck into the new building, you know, illegally. We're like, with the leadership, we're like, is this okay? What if we get a complaint? You know, we're going to go to court, you know. But I love how bro was just aggressive, risk-taking. That's not normally his nature. So I'm pushing him, mate, take a risk, bro. And then he stayed an extra week, right? You broke the law twice. I'm like, come on, Melbourne West. Come on, bro. Breaking laws, it's all happening. And so I'm so thrilled, so excited. Ross and Kathy and Sue Ellen and myself are on a leadership team. It's called the Directional Leadership Team. And so we kind of help make decisions and serve the location pastors. And let me tell you, all four of us are so proud of your church. So proud of what God's doing. So proud of the culture. It feels like home here. You can just sense it, the excitement, the energy. And, you know, we may not be the biggest location, but I think we've got the biggest heart at Melbourne West for people, for God. And so, well done. Well done. 2019. Get ready for what God is going to do in our church. That's actually the name of our series. Get ready. Get ready for what God is going to do. Let me open up today with a story, and then we'll jump into scripture. Sir Ernest Shackleton, the legendary explorer, in 1914 attempted to be the first to circumnavigate Antarctica from sea to sea. So he was an Englishman. He put an ad in the local paper, a very small ad. I have a picture of the ad that was put on the paper. It says, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful." But we do have honor and recognition in case of success. I'm reading this thinking you're going to get no one, bro. No one's going to sign up for that. Not the best advertisement to attract people for your journey. It's fascinating that hundreds and hundreds responded to that ad. There's something in the heart of man that wants to go beyond where they are, that wants to achieve more than they have, that wants to believe there's more in them. And this man wanted, attracted hundreds. He had several days and weeks of interviewing to whittle the number down to 27. This has gripped the heart of our lead pastor, Ross Abraham, Men Wanted. And we've started this year with a real heart to raise the men up in our church and the young men. That's good news for the ladies, because we all benefit when the leadership is healthy. And so this isn't just for men today, this is for women also. But there is something stirring in our hearts this year to get ready for what God has. Let me continue on with this story. 27 men were selected to endure epic hardships after the ship, prophetically named the Endurance, that was the name of the Endurance, got stuck in pack ice and began a 12-month fight for their lives. Day after day, they tried to break the ice around the ship. We have a picture of the ship that got engulfed in the ice. Ultimately, they failed, and the pack ice basically destroyed the ship. They then abandoned the ship and had to walk 1,000 miles for help. With dwindling provisions, sub-zero weather, no communication, they walked to Elephant Island, survived by eating their beloved sled dogs. Once they arrived there, five men set out towards a distant whaling station on South Georgia Island. We have a photo of the little boat. It was a life raft that they dragged along. Then five of them set out. The sixth guy is probably about to let go. He's like, I'm not going. I'm not jumping on that thing. They jumped on. I don't know how they chose the five out of the 27. I think they were the most healthy at the time. And they had to survive in 20-foot swells in this 20-foot boat. It was said that there was a sleepless dementia that had reduced these men into a catatonic fetal position where their frost-bitten fingers were encased in ice to the oars. Finally, the half-dead men hauled their little boat onto the shores of a tiny rock cove. Then Shackleton and two of his men crossed the width of the island's forbidding, unmapped, mountainous interior in one 36-hour, all-or-nothing death march to a whaling station on the leeward side of the island. The men stumbled out of the frozen mist of the mountains and shuffled into the stormless station where the shocked workers at first insisted their story couldn't be true. It cannot be true what you've just done. From that moment, Shackleton's name was legendary. Amazing achievement. Shackleton's courage romances us. His capacity for swallowing pain and perseverance mesmerizes us. But the final scene in Shackleton's life is heartbreaking. You see, away from the heroic challenges of the Antarctic explorations, he was ill-equipped for the normal life of being a husband and a father. He launched many wrong-headed and failed business ventures, ultimately descending into alcoholism, died of a heart attack, with more than $1 million in debt. What a tragedy. How, after he accomplished so much, survived the unsurvivable, beat all the odds, yet failed at what matters most, family, friends, and faith. They're the only things that you can take to the next life. The truth is, we can be no different. We may not be crossing Antarctica, but our Antarctica may be building a business. It may be raising children. It may be leading a church. And our Antarctica can, if we're not careful, distract us from getting ready for what matters most, our spiritual life. Because this earthly life can be all-consuming and we can forget the big picture, the big prize, the big goal. It's our spiritual life. It's called eternity. That's a long time. And today we want to talk about getting ready. Are we ready for what's to come? Are we ready spiritually? Are we ready for eternity? Are we ready for the dreams that God has placed in our heart to see them fulfilled? For me, my Antarctica is 9 locations, at Elevation. When I signed up to work for Ross, there was two, okay? And there was one really main one, and we had just started the second one. There's about 50 people at the second one at Tweed. This was 5 years ago. At the time, I was living in America, working for a very large church. With about the church I was leading had 5,000 attendants. It's an amazing church called Life Church, wonderful. But I thought, man, one location with 500 people sounds pretty good. So I prayed and sought God, and we said yes to coming on staff at Elevation. Well, I would never have known 5 years later, now 9 locations is what we're doing to build God's kingdom. It's great and it's noble, but I have to be very careful that I don't lose my faith or my family in building these 9 locations. And you do too. We have to make sure we keep our eye on the prize, which is our spiritual world and eternity. That's why we're talking about getting ready. So with my 4 boys growing up, I'm like, how do they grow up so quick? All that baby fat has turned to muscle. My 18-year-old beat me at a arm wrestle. My 16-year-old beat me at a running race. And it's over. I'm like, God, help me. So I decided this year I'm going to intentionally really pour into them spiritually. I don't know how long I've got. In fact, I'm trying to take every one of them on a trip with me. You might have seen this morning I had little Jet with me, my 10-year-old. And so I'm going to try and bring him with me. Little Jet, we saw the Penguins at St. Kilda yesterday. We went to Federation Square and hung out at the tennis for a bit. We nearly got run over by trams, trucks and tourists downtown. And so I'm trying to not just show him life, I'm trying to be an example spiritually to him. And so we need to understand, we need to get ready for what's to come. I don't know what it is for you. We all have to get ready spiritually. But I also believe prophetically there's something God wants to do in your life this year. Definitely something he wants to do in our church. And we want to get ready. Because moving into another location is going to create more work, more problems, because there's going to be more people. And when you have more people, it doesn't get easier, it just gets harder. And so we want to make sure we're ready for what's to come. By the way, that little location of Tweed Heads with 50 people 5 years ago, I just went to their Sunday service on the 23rd of December, and there was over 500 people in one. Yeah, we celebrate that. 500 in one of the 2 services. 500 twice, 1,016 people came through their doors. Praise God. So get ready, Melbourne West, as a church, for what God wants to do. But it starts with us getting ready spiritually. Let's jump into God's word. James 1, verse 13. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. If you're a believer today, testing and temptation are coming. Don't be surprised. So let's get ready. Afterwards, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. God uses temptation to grow and prepare us. All through Scripture, we see trials and temptations that God used to grow men and women of God. So if that's coming, why don't we get ready for it? The reason we endure temptation is to receive the crown of life and to please our God. Now, some people, if you look at this last verse, God has promised to those who love him. Some people see that we need to endure testings or temptation out of fear. Fear that we're going to fail. Now, fear is a motivator. We don't speed anymore because living for 3 months on one point is not fun. And the fear is we'll lose our license. That's one motivator, right? Another motivator is the consequences. If I get a fine with 1 point, I'm walking or I'm Ubering, you know, and that's no life, no way to live life. So fear or consequences in one way of a motivator. The best motivator is having a love to please our God. You got to understand that. You see, religion is not based on it's performance. It's not based on God's going to beat you up if you do something wrong. Religion should be based on a love for our Father in heaven. And that's the motivator, is to please Him and honor Him. Let's continue on. Verse 13. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. So if God doesn't tempt us, where does temptation come from? Temptation comes from our own desires, because we have a flesh nature, which entices us and drags us away. Drags us away from what? Drags us away from God, from our relationship, our intimacy with Him. That's what Satan did in the garden. He wanted to drag Adam and Eve away through disobedience. They were tempted. These desires give birth to sinful actions. So temptation is not a sin. But if we're not careful, they can give birth and become sinful actions. And when sin has allowed to grow, it ultimately gives birth to death. God will test you, but He will never tempt you. So why is testing coming? What's the point? Didn't we just get saved so that all of our problems could go away? Didn't we just get saved so we'll give our life to God so He'd sort everything out? Well, the problem with that theory is Jesus saved us from ourselves because we have this sin nature. And God is, although we're saved instantly, there's a redemptive process that takes time, because God wants to change us. He wants to change that evil way that we're born with, that sin nature, and wants to transform us into His Son. If you think you are standing strong, 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you're standing strong, if you think you're okay, if you think you're not going to face any testing or trials or temptations, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fail. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you can endure. Here's the bad news. Trials, temptations are coming. Here's the good news. God will always give us a way out. So let me summarize before we move on. Testing is what allows us to move forward and become the man and woman that God wants us to be. Let's go back just to the basics. You can't move on at school until you pass the test. Unless you have a mum who's 5'2". And in grade 2, she goes up to the principal and demands her son moves on to grade 3. I was the dumbest kid in the class, and they wanted to hold me back, but my little 5'2" fiery mom forced my way into grade 3. But generally, if you fail, you're not moving forward. If you fail, an exam for your license, you're not getting it. If you fail, you're testing it in a career, you're not moving forward. So testing is actually a positive thing to help you move forward. God wants all of us to move forward. Move forward in our success with Him. Growing, understanding, becoming more like Him. Testing is what allows that process to occur. So testing is actually a good thing. Temptation is a good thing because it allows us to pass so that we can move forward and become like God. Without testing, we're just stuck. We're going nowhere. We're not moving on. We're not progressing. So testing is great. And the best, that's the bad news. The best news is that God gives us a way out, always. Always. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because honestly, some of us, including myself, are failing some of those temptations, aren't we? We're failing some of those testings. And so I think as we understand, we've got to get ready. Help me, Miles, help me through God's word to know how do we overcome. If God's promised us a way out, what is that? That maybe for you, you're worrying. You're just worrying about the future. You know it's wrong, but you can't help it. Your mind just races. You can't stop it from worrying. And each time you start to worry, you know that's a temptation or a test, and you just can't stop it. Maybe it's lying. You're just saying stuff and you just get caught up in your own lies. Or maybe it's overeating. Maybe it's spending. You just feel like you feel better when you overspend. Or maybe you're just getting consumed with a Netflix series. And while it's fine, maybe it's getting in the way of doing some stuff like the lawn or the dishes or talking to your spouse. Or maybe there's a substance abuse. Maybe you're having a little too much of something. Maybe you're looking to something else to fulfill you rather than looking to God. Maybe it's gambling or lust or being critical or gossip or lazy. I think all of us are susceptible to some things more than others, aren't we? And honestly, I'm here to tell you that I get tempted and I often fail. I can fail with being a workaholic. All I do is think about work. I'm looking at my wife and I'm thinking about stuff. And I'm being tempted with, and I'm being exposed when Bonnie says, "You're not listening to me, are you?" And then I lie. I say, "Yeah, of course I'm listening." So not only was I not engaged, failed there, then I lie that I am listening when I'm not. And so we're all susceptible to this because we have this sin nature. Let me explain how temptation works, and then we'll talk about how to overcome it. There's five steps that happen in this temptation process. So we want to get ready for it. We want to know what's coming. These five steps can take a moment or can take months. Number one is a thought. Number two is imagination. Number three is justification. Number four is choice. Number five is sin. So remember, temptation is not a sin. These first four are not a sin. Number five is ultimately the action. So let's say I see a donut in 7-Eleven. I know I shouldn't eat it. And I have a thought, donut, 7-Eleven. Then I imagine what it would taste to bite into that Krispy Kreme filled with jam. Oh, so good. Justification, I've worked hard. I'm traveling for the gospel. You know, I'm away from my family. I deserve it. Then I choice, I pay for that thing. And then number five, eat it. I'm not saying eating a donut's sin, but I'm saying if you're not supposed to eat a donut, if you've made a decision not to, it always starts with a thought. So we want to talk about how do we get ready to win and succeed the temptations that are surely coming. It's interesting that every temptation is an invitation. Every temptation is an invitation to either sin or to grow. Martin Luther famously said we need prayer, meditation, and temptation. One of the great theologians of our Christian belief, Martin Luther, believed that temptation was one of the top three components to grow spiritually. Incredible. How to fight temptation. We're going to get ready. We're going to win. We're going to overcome because God has given us a way out. Let's start with number one, two thoughts. That's all I've got today. And we'll go through this in the next 10 minutes. Number one, submit to God. Submit to God. James 4, verse 7. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We've probably heard this before. Sounds very simple, but I want to give you some teaching today. So I'm going to move into teaching mode. Humble in the Greek was a military term. It was used to put people in subjection. Under, to obey. Submission is not an emotion, it's a decision. It's not something you do every now and then, It's a posture you actually live in. So I want to help you understand this word submission to God, because before we fight, we submit. Before we resist, we submit. And this concept of this military word is something the army or the navy or the air force or whatever military arm you're associated with is ongoing through what we call training. So submission and training are synonymous. What do you mean? Well, the first thing you want to do with the recruit in the army is they want to break down the cadets, break down their old ways, their old thinking, and basically brainwash them. And then they use this thing called training daily to keep them in a posture of submission. If they just let them do whatever they want for 5 years, suddenly they call them in and let's go to war, they're not going to do what the commander tells them to do. It's a daily decision that they use through training. So, Kokoda. Has anyone heard of the Kokoda track? We've got a few photos. It's a nearly 100-kilometer track through PNG, one of the hardest jungles to go through, where you camp, you carry everything on your back, you heat your own hot water to put in freeze-dried food. Nasty. You wear the same clothes because you need a light pack. You have the same undies and shorts for 8 days. The only thing you're allowed to change is your socks. And to keep at under 20 kg, there's no deodorant, perspirant, there's no soap, there's no shower, there's no aircon, there's no cooked breakfast, there's no coffee. Guess who's going on Kokoda? Brunson, baby! Yeah! Why does Ross and I get so much joy when our location pastors suffer? So all the location pastors are going on Kokoda in July. Why are we doing this? Every year at Elevation, we pull our location pastors together for something significant to grow and train them. Sometimes we'll go to a conference. This year we're going to do Kokoda. The purpose of Kokoda is physically challenge to overcome something adventurous. Also, we believe the camaraderie that will be built with the other location pastors is just money well spent. And most importantly, we believe it's going to be a real spiritual encounter. So you don't turn up in July with your gear without any training. Already, Bronson has researched the lightest, the most efficient, highest quality boots. We all go to Bronson when we need to know something. He's the smartest location pastor we have and is the best at using Google and finding reviews. And so he's helped me get my boots and we talk nonstop. Well, what's interesting is Kokoda is in July, but guess what all the LPs are doing on Monday and Wednesday and a Friday, 3 days a week? Training. They're training. So this concept of getting ready for us spiritually in this word called submission is daily. Submission isn't just something we say, it's something we actually do. So this concept of submission is a discipline, it's a lifestyle. It teaches us to draw close to God. It teaches us to know Him. It teaches us to rely on Him. You can't fight anything unless firstly you submit. And maybe today, honestly, you need to submit. You need to submit. You need to submit to God. Maybe you've never made that decision to submit to God. You're living your own life. Or maybe you've made a decision and you're a follower, but your life doesn't really reflect that day to day. You come on Sunday, but have you drawn closer to Him on the Monday? It's a relationship. You know, it's not something you say, it's something you live and do. What about you today? How's your submission to God? It's coming under. It's surrender. It's allowing the conquering King, Jesus Christ, to rule and reign in your heart. It opens you up to hear the voice of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will convict you. He will comfort you. He will encourage you. How are you doing in submission? Because you want to get ready for what's to come. You don't want to do it alone. You want to be ready by being submitted. Number one is submitted. The next way we fight the temptations and the testing that's coming is we resist. We'll read James 4:7 again. So humble yourselves. Number one, submit. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist comes from two Greek words, stand against. James tells us to stand against the devil. So we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He is looking to take us out. He wants to destroy us. This is real. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a movie. This is life. Our eternity is at stake. Our kids' eternity, our family, our friends' eternity. The stakes couldn't be higher. There is a real enemy. His name is Satan. We need to know, how do we resist Satan? How do we fight against him? Resist is actually it's a verb to stand against, but it's also a forceful, offensive word. It's not hiding, it's not sleeping, it's not running, it isn't passive. It requires force. To stand against something, you need to be strong. So how do we be strong when we all know we're weak? How do we be strong when I know I should wash my plate after my meal and I just forget and put it in the dishes? And Bonnie says, again, I've told you, why do you not know that if you leave it dry, the food cakes to the plate and then it puts a bad flavor through the dishwasher? Anyway, why do I do it? I don't know. I'm stupid. I'm weak. It doesn't take that long. It's not that hard to wash my plate. 24 years of marriage, I still forget to wash my plate. Why am I so stupid? If we're all honest, we failed because we're weak. Even Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. In other words, you're not that good. So how do we stand after we've submitted and fight the enemy if we are weak? Because you can stand strong for a while. On a good day, you're pretty good. But there's always going to be a day where you're tired, where you're frustrated, where you look at your employee and they're moving slower than mud down a landslide. Or they're yawning while they're supposed to be working on a car. Or they're moving slower than a glacier. Well, what do you do when you have an employee? What do you do when your spouse fires off or your kids, are distressed? What do you do when you're tired, when you're worn out? What do you do in those moments of weakness? If we are weak, and we are, how do we stand strong? By bonding to something which is strong. We are weak because we haven't bonded to something which is strong. If a leg is broken, they put it in a splint. Why? They bond it to something that's strong. So what do we need to bond to? Well, we need to bond to God. That's how we can stand strong, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. We cannot overcome these temptations and testings on our own strength. So once we've submitted under God, we don't stop there. We learn to bond to him so that when we stand, we have the host of heavens backing us behind us. So I want to talk about three ways practically to bond. And maybe for you, it's one of these three you're going to put into practice tomorrow. And Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Remember, this whole concept of getting ready is a daily activity. It's a discipline. So there's three ways. I want you to pick one, not all three. Just pick one. You ready? The first one is prayer. Just like exercise builds your physical body, prayer strengthens your spiritual body. Why do I say that? Matthew 26, 1. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to what? Temptation. Pray. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The first one some of you need to do is pray. For you, it may be a couple minutes in the morning, maybe getting away in the afternoon, maybe setting time aside at night. Go to work, extra 15 minutes. This is what I used to do. I used to get into the office 15 minutes early, it's actually half an hour earlier, and I'd just walk up and down the office carpet before anyone was in, and I'd just pray. Maybe that's what you need to do. Prayer. Number two, the Word. The Word. Psalms 119:9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying the Word. How did Jesus fight temptation? Quoting Scripture. The Word is food for our soul. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. Feed your soul, your spirit, by reading your Word. Your phone's with you. Phone is with you even when you're on the throne. Read your Word. Every time you're on the throne, you're in the throne a few times, right? Take your Word with you. Read it. Stay a little longer in the throne. Find a way where you can read a scripture every day. Maybe for you it's prayer. Maybe for you it's the Word. I don't know. Pick one. Here's the third one. The right people. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to shame you. Some of you need to get the right people around you where you can talk about the things of God, not just the things of sports or politics or the world. What is it for you? Do you need to focus on prayer, the Word, or the right people? Just close your eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. God, what is it that you would want us to do to bond closer to you? God, speak to us, we pray. Is it the prayer? Is it the Word? Or is it the right people? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that prophetically we speak over every person in this place. Give them the courage to get ready. Help them to be disciplined. Help them to pay the price. Just like we're not going to walk Kokoda without training, we're not going to be able to overcome the testings and temptations without getting ready. As we resist, as we submit, come under, surrender, then we resist by standing against, by bonding ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, I'm so excited what God is going to do in Melbourne West this year. So excited for the future souls that we're going to see saved, the miracles, the signs and wonders. Lord, your kingdom's going to be expanded and pushed forward. I'm so excited for the new building. I'm so excited for the new people. I'm so excited for all that you're going to do. But help us to get ready today. What can we do? We can get ready today. You know, the building's in council. We're not waiting. We're not sitting back. We're getting ready. Bronson's getting quotes. Gabby's shopping. We're getting ready. We're working hard. God, we need to get ready for what's to come. We need to get ready for what's to come. We need to get ready for what's to come. Still praying today. I want to pray for those of you. And I mentioned in my first point that some of us need to submit. That's where it all begins, to be a Christian. Is when you surrender your life and say, Jesus, be the Lord. Why do I have to do that? Because we're all born with this thing called sin. Separates us from God. So our Father sent his Son Jesus Christ to live a perfect life. He died on a cross and rose again, defeated sin. And so that when we ask Jesus to forgive us, we're forgiven. But that only happens when we surrender our life and say, be my Lord and Savior. And today that's why you're here. It's one prayer, one decision of surrender. And then it begins a lifetime of resistance, of standing, of being bonded with him. And that's why you're here today, is to begin this journey, to overcome the great test that's on this earth, to decide, do I live for myself or God? Heaven or hell hangs in the balance. That's the reality. We're not playing around with a positive thinking message, we're playing around with eternity. If that's you this morning, you're far from God and today's your day to surrender, to say yes to Him, would you boldly raise your hand so I can pray for you? Because the Bible says when you confess with your mouth and you confess me among men, I'll confess you to my Father. If that's you this morning, boldly raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. It's between you and God. But I want to recognize your bold decision to follow Him, to serve Him. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Thank you. I see your hand. Others of you, just raise your hand. Others, just put your hand up wherever you are. This is about surrendering to Jesus Christ. Not a church, not me, not Bronson. Church, let's pray a prayer together. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I surrender. I submit. I give my life to You. Help me. I don't understand it all, but I know I need You. Be my Lord and Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, come on, let's celebrate how good our God is this morning.